to get the results that you've never had, you got to do things that you never done. And that stuck with me. And when I got to McMurray, I started to do things that I had never done. You know, getting up at 6 a.m., working out, because we only had one gym. Staying late after practice, you know, obviously it's Division III, so you got to be self-motivated to reach your goal. And I just knew I had a small window opportunity, and I just went in there with that mindset. Like, I want to be a pro one day, and, like, I don't want to look back and have any regrets. Young the Ball Podcast.
What's going on, ballers? And welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Ball Podcast with Jonathan Jones. And we're here in the Speak Your Success Media Studios. And man, every time I get the opportunity to sit down with another accomplished individual who's done amazing things and I know who could add value to your life, my life, and everybody else listening, you know, I got to bring them in, right? So today we're sitting here with a gentleman who He's addicted to the game. Okay, I mean there's another way to say it. He's addicted to the game, but he really respects the game. Basketball has played at the highest level, and even further than that, he's been able to teach others. Right, so it's one thing for you to be successful playing a sport or doing whatever it is that you might do, but it's another thing when you have the opportunity to learn the game, master the game, and then teach others the game. So, man, we're here with a phenomenal hooper, an amazing scorer, and even beyond that, an individual who believes in developing athletes for the long haul, for life. Man, we got Coach Jay Harden in the building. Coach, how you feeling?
Man, good, man. I appreciate you, man. That's a heck of an introduction, man. You made me feel like I'm somebody. I appreciate it.
Man, well, you are. Yeah. Man, you definitely are, man. And, well, is there anything I missed? Is there anything, you know, I should have dove in a little bit more on? I'll kick the mic to you and let you, you know.
Nah, man, you spoke well on me. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
For sure, man.
Good to be here.
Yeah, for sure. So I had to reach out because, I mean, I told you before, but man, I'm going to kick it off with this, and I can go to my notes on this one. Because I remember hooping against you when you was at McMurray.
Right.
But let's rewind the clock back a little bit, because before you were at McMurray, you was at Washburn, right? You was at Washburn, mm-hmm. And then it says you averaged 5 points a game, right?
Right.
No, I ain't throwing shade. I'm it's going somewhere, right? So you averaged 5 at Washburn, at Washburn.
Yeah.
And then from there, when you went to McMurray, then you averaged 20. Bro, talk to us real quick. I just want you to talk about the mindset of going from there to 20. Talk with us, Coach. Talk with us a little bit.
My time back at Washburn, it was a good Division II school. I really loved Washburn. It was great. But I was at a different point. I was at a different time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my grandpa when I got to Washburn. I lost my grandpa, my grandma, and my grandpa raised me. Did help my mom raise me a lot. So there was an influential piece in my life. And I lost my grandpa, and I hurt my ankle for the first time ever at Washburn. So I've never been injured before. And never lost somebody that close to me before, and knowing that my grandma would need me, and you know, I just couldn't get right at Washburn, man. I couldn't get right, and I ended up, you know, obviously today they would call it the transfer portal. I hopped in my own transfer portal, and I told my grandma I would come home and go to school close to Texas. I didn't care if it was D1, D2, or D3. And, you know, I went to McMurray and, the coaches from McMurray came to Dallas, we was actually still living in the projects in South Dallas at that time. And they came, and did everything in their power to get me there. And I went, and everything was great about it. It gave me an opportunity to live out my dream, which become a professional basketball player. But go back to where you're talking about the mindset. I knew I had a short window of opportunity that I had to seize my moment, and I had to do things that I had never done before. There's a quote that I don't know who made this quote up, but to get the results that you've never had, you got to do things that you never done. And that stuck with me. And when I got to McMurray, I started to do things that I had never done. You know, getting up at 6 a.m., working out, because we only had one gym. staying late after practice, you know, obviously it's Division III, so you got to be self-motivated to reach your goal. And I just knew I had a small window opportunity, and I just went in there with that mindset. Like, I want to be a pro one day, and, like, I don't want to look back and have any regrets. And that's kind of how that transpired.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, man. I wanted to ask that because I was just excited about that. I got a little ahead of myself. But like, let's rewind it a little bit. So you went to South Garland or North Garland?
South Garland.
Okay, so you went to South Garland. But during that time, did you see anybody else go pro coming out of South Garland, or did you see anybody?
To be honest, man, I grew up in South Dallas, and I went to every school in South Dallas but high school. I didn't go to Lincoln, I didn't go to Madison, which all my family went. And when I got to the eighth grade, I knew in my heart that I didn't need to go to school in South Dallas. I knew in my heart, obviously that's where we live, so I didn't know like if I didn't know if God would bring me, you know, a guardian angel or somebody to pick me up and take me from South Dallas or whatever, because I was on track to go to Lincoln, and that's where I was going. But I knew in my heart that I wouldn't have made it because I needed to be out of the environment that I grew up in to better myself. And I knew that in my heart, and I didn't want to do it neither. But I went to South Garland because of my AAU coach. He convinced my mom and my grandma, like, he should come to my high school. It'd be good for him. And I went, and I moved out to Garland, and I didn't know a soul. I didn't know nobody. It was like a culture shock, obviously, because in South Dallas it's nothing but black people.
Yeah.
First time I encountered a Caucasian person is probably the eighth, ninth grade. Prior to that, a white person that I encountered was the police. So going to South Garland was a big culture shock for me, but it was what I needed. I was able to brush off the rough edges of my life and like learn how to talk to people and be diverse and get different friends from different races and learn about different things that intrigued me that I didn't know intrigued me from when I was living where I was living, you know. Mm. And so it was great for me going to South Garland, and I had to earn it. Like, I didn't know nobody, so when I went to school, I met the basketball coaches, like, they literally didn't know who I am, who I was. They asked me where I came from. So nothing was handed to me. I had to go in there and work and earn a spot. And, you know, I saw guys that played professional basketball, but all I knew was that they played overseas. They left. When they played basketball, made money, came home. Nobody never set me down and taught me the ins and outs. And that was something that I kind of learned on my own, which is why I talk to guys now more about the going to play and making money. I talk to them about the day-to-day and how your mental is going to be, and, you know, the day-to-day of being overseas, because young players only hear about the glitz and the glamour. They don't hear about the backside. So, yeah, I had never talked to nobody that played pro before, other than, you know, seeing guys that someone told me that he played pro ball.
Man, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's all like, I mean, that's all we hear in terms of guys hooping overseas. We don't hear about the different levels. And,
right.
You know, we don't hear, like, because I know you went, what, four, it was four different countries in 10 years?
So off the top of my head, I can't remember how many countries I played in, but I played in five continents out of the seven. So I've been all around the world for sure. I played in just about every continent except for two.
Yeah. So and then you were able to experience the different levels, because like I know it was Mexico and then you were in Asia.
Yeah,
because
I'm
it's like it's the, can you just talk about just the different levels just for a second? Because I know there's somebody out there like, man, I'm gonna go overseas, and you know they just feel like they just gonna be, you know, just living it up.
Obviously, I won't go too in-depth on the levels and things like that, but it's a bunch of basketball being played, man, around the world. Mm. And you can make a lot of money playing this game. You can make a ton of money playing this game in different places. But the thing is, it depends on you, the player, what you want out of this. Because I know guys who just go to Asia and make a lot of money and ride off into the sunset. I mean, and I say ride off into the sunset. They have their trials and tribulations, but that's what it's about over there. You're gonna go over there and play, and they're gonna pay you a lot of money to come over there and score a lot of points. You might not never go to EuroLeague or to the highest levels of Europe, but you're gonna make a lot of money to take care of your family. And I know guys that's okay with that. And I also know guys that started at D3s or D2s and worked their way up and got to a certain level overseas, and you know that was good for them. And me personally, myself, and I explain this to young athletes all the time right now. The thing about my journey is I didn't make $1 million playing basketball professionally, but I made some decent money at different times in my life. But the thing it did for me, it taught me a tremendous work ethic. It taught me you know, how I was able to experience traveling the world and seeing different things and seeing different cultures. And it also set me up to be where I am right now as a Division I college basketball coach, because I don't think I would be a Division I basketball coach if I didn't make those sacrifices that I made as a player and that hard work that I put in. You know, sometimes you work really hard and you don't get the result that you think you should get, or you don't get what you think God should give you, but he's also have his plan for you already made out. So I think that my plan was, he taught me how to develop me as a player. He gave me the gift to develop myself as a player, and which led me into transition into, you know, coaching and developing other players. Because if I took myself, who I don't think a lot of the players I work with are way more talented than me, and I was able to turn myself into a pretty decent player. So if you give me a kid that's have some talent and some skill, but just need, you know, some guidance and some mm-hmm. and some coaching and some development, then, you know, I think the sky's the limit for him. And, you know, and that's kind of credit to my wife too, because she told me a long time ago while I was still playing that, you know, that's I would be coaching and I would be doing some of the things that I'm doing. And she saw that. She's one of the first people to see that in me before I saw it in myself. So.
Ain't that dope when you know you married the right woman? And then you like, she be telling you stuff. You're like, I don't know if I see that. She like, nah, I see this. And then later, and then she be like, I told you this was going to happen.
She definitely going to tell you. They definitely going to tell you they told you. I told you. But, you know, like.
What's going on, ballers? You might be listening to this audio version of the podcast, or you might be watching even the video version of the podcast, and you're probably thinking, well, what would it take for John to come to our campus? What would it take for John to come to our school and to teach our students media training, to talk about podcasting, and even the whole world of media? Well, luckily for you, all you have to do, friend, is just click the link just down below in the show notes where it says book John to speak, all right? And then we can go right there. We can set up time to have a conversation. And I would love to learn more about you. Love to learn more about your student athletes and how we can serve and support them at a high level. Okay. So just hit the link just down below. And we look forward to having a conversation with you.
I'm 100% honest. Like, she literally told me that stuff. And then the time she was telling me, I thought she was crazy, but I was just looking at her like, I don't even see nowhere near. I don't see none of that in my life, in my future. It was hard. I was like, I see none of that in my future. So,
man,
you must really know me, or God must really send you a sign to tell you this stuff. And I mean, like, here we are, 2024.
Wow.
Everything that we was talking about, I mean, we here.
Yeah, for sure. So talk a little bit about the player development dynamic, because I think some people don't necessarily understand what that is all the time. But like, it is. So is player development, is this person a coach? Are they part coach? Or what does that look like in your realm with basketball?
Me personally, I don't want to say pushed in this direction, but God put people around me in my life to show me like this was my purpose and what I needed to be doing. And obviously, you know, we all been at a time in our life to where we didn't listen to God, and we it was hard for us to listen to God for the purpose of our lives. And during that time, I used to like fight it a little bit, you know, like, you know, my son, he played for AAU team, for a guy, and every time I would go to his practice with my wife just to watch him practice, the guy would ask me, hey, I need you to train my son. Like, when can you train my son? And I'm like, I'm not a trainer. I don't train. And my wife, and if I wasn't there, he'd ask my wife, and she would come home and say, DeLon asked if you could train his son. And I'm like, I told him I don't train kids. I don't know how to train. But I'm saying that to say, like, this the kid who he his son, I've been training him since the sixth grade, and right now he's a top 40, top 50 player in the country as a junior, getting ready to be a senior. So I've been training him for a long time. But his dad was placed in my life to push me towards what I'm doing, and I fought it for a while, and you know, which was crazy. It's funny how stuff come full circle. But going back to your point about the player development dynamic, I worked myself out as a player. You know, I didn't have, obviously during that time, we didn't have trainers and player development coaches and things like that. So that's another part of what I'm saying about my purpose. I had four walls and two goals in a court and a basketball, and I taught myself. I remember I used to sit in the gym by myself, and I would think of drills. I would think of, you know, just ways I could get better, and stuff would just come to my head, and I would just work on it, and I would just make up drills myself. Like, literally, it's crazy. But that dynamic, you know, I feel like it was a gift that God gave me to be able to develop players and connect with players too, because obviously a player coach, you know what guys are going through, you know what type of situations they in, you've been in their shoes before, you know, stuff like that. But I don't like the word trainer. I think a trainer is somebody that shows you skills and teach and do drills with you and things like that, and I don't like the word trainer. So I always told people, like, I'm not a trainer, I'm a player development coach, because I spend time with kids on developing their skill, but I also spend time with developing their mind, because I understand I had a rough journey. I went to junior college, went to a D2, finished at a D3, and played overseas for 9 years. You think that was easy, or that road was just, you know, a cakewalk? No. I went through a lot of adversity, times where I wanted to quit, or times where I questioned God, is like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I still chasing this? You know, felt like a fool at times. So I understand how strong you got to be mentally. So I teach a lot of young players, like, man, this game is more mental than it is physical. Like, I don't care what, I can teach you a step back, a side step, a euro, and all of that. But if I can build your mind to be strong and build your mind for the journey, then the sky is going to be the limit for you. So player development coach is developing is way more into it than what people, what a common fan or a common basketball fan will understand, because you can see a player that's talented and have skill and that can play, but he's never been taught the right things of how to carry himself or how to work on, take care of his body, or how to take the game serious, and just all the nuances of the game. Mm-hmm. And then that player will not make it, and it won't be because of his talent or his skill. It would be because of his mind and from the neck up. So I just like to, I mean, I like to be referred to as a coach. I don't want to put myself in a box as a player development coach. And I'm player development is my thing, but I know the game of basketball, and I teach the game of basketball, and I also teach life skills too, you know. So that's kind of my take on it.
For sure. Do you have any desire to be a head coach?
Right now, I don't. To be honest, I don't. I don't, and maybe that's another thing that I can't see. I said about coaching in the first place, you know, when we was talking about that. But I don't have an aspiration to be a head coach right now. I think I still got a lot of learning to do as an assistant and as a player development coach. So I'm just trying to learn as much as I can every day and be better. And you know, maybe one day, you know, God will give me that sign like I need to be.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I get that too, because I know it's a tremendous jump in time investment and work. Like, it's a different ball game when you put that head coach hat on. So I mean, I get that and understand it. But just think about head coaches, and I know that, you know, you're currently at New Mexico State, right? Currently at New Mexico State.
Right.
Now I want to get to that, but I just want to ask you before we get there. I want to turn the clock back just a little bit, and I want you just to talk about, if you don't mind, about the Kansas State culture with with Coach Tang,
right,
and like everything, you know, that like that they've been able to do over there on that side, because you was a piece of that. You was in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know what? I tell people this, or I've told a few people this, and they, like the few people I've told, they know me, so they know, like my wife, like she know how much I love to play when I played. I played every day, all the time. I would go anywhere to play. I literally had the best year of my life basketball wise last year at Kansas State. Like it was the best year being a part of a team, whether I was playing or whether I was coaching. And it was just because, number one, Coach Tang is, Coach Tang is probably one of the top five human beings that I've met in my life. It's hard to find a flaw with Coach Tang. I know guys say nobody's on earth is perfect, but
yeah,
it's hard to find a flaw in Jerome Tang, man. He's just a great dude, great dude, and I think I'm a better human being just by, not even a better coach, I'm a better human being, a better man by being with Coach Tang, and he taught me so much, taught me so much talking to me and taught me so much just by watching him, the way he interact with people, the way he interact with his wife, the way he, you know, way he interact with players, just all around, he's just all around great dude, and he's a selfless leader. And it started with him, and he built that culture, you know, in a short amount of time, and connected with our players, and guys believed. And, you know, it's funny. Obviously, we was one game away from the Final Four, and I think it was maybe December. E.T. came and spoke to us, Eric Thomas. He came and spoke to us, and when the time that he left, we would send messages in the group chat, different coaches or players sometimes would send, you know, that we wanted to win a national championship in a group text, and say it five times in a group text. And, like, we was doing that back in December. And so for us to go on the run that we had, man, it was tremendous and a blessing to be a part of. I think the night before, we played FAU in the Elite Eight game. I was up for 24 hours, and my wife was trying to make me go to sleep in the hotel. And I was like, how can I sleep? We about to play. We 40 minutes away from the Final Four tomorrow. I've been watching this stuff since I was a kid. And to be in the moment, to be that close, and to be, I mean, a part of the NCAA tournament and win a Sweet 16 game, and to be 40 minutes from the Final Four, like it was hard for us to sleep in New York City playing at Madison Square Garden. So it was just all, man, last year was just I can't put into words how great last year was for me.
Man, yeah, that's real, man. That's real. So now I want you just to tell me when you hear this, what comes to mind? Trust your work.
Trust your work. Obviously, trust your work is a common, I don't know how common it is. I see a lot of people saying it now more. I mean, I'm not saying that it's mine. Maybe I need to get it copyrighted before it's too late. Latrice, we need to work on that, probably getting that copyrighted. But when I hear trust your work, for me, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, it's what my journey has always been about. For one, you know, I trusted myself and trusted my work as a player, and that's how I was able to achieve becoming a professional basketball player. And it's something that I try to instill in players, because everything's not going to always go right. It's going to be some adversity. It's going to be some bumps in the road. And when you have bumps in the road and adversity hits you, the only thing you can fall back on is your work. Because if you fall back on your work, you're going to be able to get through those tough times. But when that adversity hit and them troubled times hit, if you're not working hard and you're not working towards something, then it's like, it's easy for you to quit. It's easy for you to stop. But if you're going through a shooting slump and you're in the gym every day still getting up shots, and you miss a couple shots in the game and you're getting up shots, and then the next game, you know, or that breakout game where you hit four or five threes in a row, then it's like, all right, I knew I was going to do this because I've been in this slump, but I also still been in the gym like I was making shots, you know. So that's why I use, say the slogan, trust your work. I just feel like, you know, it's a great thing for players, you know, to understand like, hey man, like if I trust my work, then the results gonna come. They might not come when you want them to come or when you know they're gonna come, but they're eventually gonna come. You just gotta trust it. Just gotta trust what you're working on.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I, as I was watching, I was looking at some of your content and seeing you, you know, seeing some of the drills, how you were working with the guys. And then it was a testament just of who you are and your work, because seeing them drive in and then you showing them how to still come out and extend. And I just remember back to that McMurray game. You was just getting to the cut. And that game, you probably remember that game, you probably had at least 30. I think you might have had like 20 at half, because our coach was so mad. But seeing you teaching that 12 years later, right. 12, 13 years later, right. And I'm just hearing you say, trust your work. But, you know, like looking at, you know, you getting that content, like, what's your thoughts on, like, in terms of like where we are now with, Like the content creation, like with the athletes and I'll start there and then we can take it from there.
For me, like to be honest, I wasn't big on like filming my workouts per se a long time ago. But the thing, what happened for me was, I was the few players that I started with in Dallas. I started out with a couple guys, and I was working these guys out every day or every other day, and I wasn't filming nothing. I was just locked in on helping them, you know, and it hit me one day. So I was talking to, I don't know who I was talking to. I can't even remember the person, but it hit me one day, and I was like, and somebody told me like, man, like, You're gonna be a heck of a coach, bro. Like you're gonna be one of the ones, man. Like you're gonna be a big time Division I coach, you're gonna be an NBA coach. You need to record this journey that you on. Like this is big. And I'm like, you know, again, like I'm not seeing it. I'm just like, man, I'm just helping these kids get better. And like the kids I was working with, you know, and I won't have to go in and say their name, but it was a few kids in Dallas that I was working with that wasn't ranked in the state of Texas. Let alone the country, when I started working with them. And, like, they was all kids that nobody really knew about. And, you know, I think one or two of them maybe had a little buzz, but for the most part, they didn't have any buzz around the city, let alone the country. And I just put in work with them every day and, like, dedicated my time, you know, whether it was time from my family, from my wife, from my kids. I was spending more time with them because I was in the gym all day with them, trying to help them get to their goals, and they got better. And people saw them getting better, and they saw them getting better because when it was brought to my attention, like, hey man, you need to document this journey that you on. And what caught me was someone told me, I can't remember who told me, but they told me the reason why you should record your content from your workouts is because you'll be able to look at a guy progression, you know, from the time you started with him, you know, maybe we working on ball handling, and then 6 months later, you can see where his ball handling at from the first time y'all worked on it. And it just kind of hit me, and I was like, you know what, you right. And I started posting content here and there, and the kids I was posting, people was like, it's so funny, because I remember it, and like, some people probably wouldn't say it, but it was kids that I was posting, some of my kids that I was working with, I was posting them, and people would ask me like, man, who is that kid you working with? He look like he might be someone. He look like he all right. He talented. And right now, some of those kids are top players in the country right now, or, you know, playing in the NBA and playing in high level Division One. So it's just crazy how that worked. But that's kind of why I started posting content and my reason behind it. But obviously it became a thing, and now everybody a trainer, obviously, and everybody like to post their workouts and stuff like that. But me, I don't care. Like I've had people steal my workouts or ask me for workouts. I'm not that type of dude. I give you a workout, I'll let you take workouts from me. I'm gonna post some drills and stuff like that. I think God has gave me a gift, and I'm not afraid to say that I got a gift, because I don't. Some of my coworkers at New Mexico State was asking me about this one day. Like, a lot of times I'm doing better this year, but I don't even write down workouts a lot of times or write down drills a lot of times, because like I literally can watch film on the player and watch a player play or watch him play live. And if when I get him in the gym, I'm able to, you know, I'm just able to, like, I don't know, I'm just able to work him out. And like, if you watch me work him out, it's like it looked like I wrote everything down and went from one drill to the next. But it's just a gift that God gave me, and I don't take credit for it. It's all God.
Family, I know you're enjoying this episode so far. I know you've been taking in the content, and I hope you're taking notes, right? I hope you're taking notes. But if you have not just yet hit that follow button on the podcast, I need you to hit it. I need you to hit it, okay? Because I want you to be tapped in to where you get the latest episodes. And even when we drop some surprise bonus episodes, you want to be the first to know, and you want to be the first to get it, okay? So wherever you're listening to this podcast at right now, Apple, Spotify, wherever, go ahead, hit that follow button so you're tapped in and you get the episodes first. All right, now back to the episode.
Yeah, that's definitely a gift, bro. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, I'm not sure if you've seen that new LeBron podcast with LeBron and JJ, right, where they breaking right. down the film and stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. I love it.
But hearing you talk about the game, and just hearing you just share that, right? Like how you can look at somebody and then you can go and basically put a workout together, or like know where they need to be and what they need to work on. That makes me think about how LeBron was talking about, you know, how like, okay, we're doing a B.O.B. and then, yeah, then you can go right or just go the other way.
Yeah.
It's just one of them things. But that definitely is a gift, bro. Cause I'm the guy who, like, I was sitting at Richland. I'm at Richland and I'm sitting here trying to look at the plays. I'm highlighting the five and the four different colors, and I need to be out there. I need to run through the play three times before it sticks.
And I get that. That don't make, you know, and I listen to what LeBron said, and LeBron, obviously he didn't mean no harm to nobody. And it's just a gift that he has, a gift that a few people have. Like, I have that gift. Like, I was a point guard, and like, I could, if a coach teach me a play, I'm gonna know it, and I'm not gonna forget it. Like, I'm just gonna know it, and I'm gonna know how to run it from one side and on the other side without him telling me. I've been a point guard my whole life, and even now as a coach, I was a point guard. So as a coach, like, it's easy when I watch stuff or when I see stuff, it's just easy for me to retain it. I mean, everybody not like that. Some people need to be on the floor with it live, and some people need to look at it a bunch of times or whatever. And like, that don't make me better than nobody. It's just a gift that God gave some of us.
For sure. And bro, for the record, when I seen you out there, I was like, nah, he's not a point guard. I was like, you're not supposed to be here, bro. I was like, he's too big to be a point guard. This don't make sense. But then you was moving up the floor, down the floor. I'm like, what in the world? But man, so I want to take a slight pivot, and man, I want you just to talk about hustle with heart. Tell us what it is, and tell us, you know, what's your purpose behind that?
We started Hustle with Heart because, I mean, I kind of needed, we needed something behind my training, I guess, and what I was doing, player development wise, and Hustle with Heart just kind of hit. My wife didn't help me come up with it, and I mean, it's self-explanatory. I mean, gotta have some hustle and some heart if you're trying to accomplish great things in this life. And so started that, and you know, I wanted to do something in the community where I'm from to give back to kids that grew up in the same situation, same situations that I grew up in. And that's something that I don't take lightly. Even now, like, I haven't done it. We haven't had camp in a year, two. What has it been, baby, two? This is the second year? I think this is the second. Oh, okay. So I think this is the second or third year we haven't gotten to do it. And, like, I'm trying to put myself in a position to where I can do it again, because I can keep it going, because, like, I just believe that's another thing that God, you know, put me in position for, to do stuff in my community where I'm from, because people don't understand, like, man, it's really, really hard to make it from South Dallas. Like, I don't think a lot of people understand that. Like, it's really, really hard. The odds are stacked against you, just the way that you brought up. And I'm not bashing my parents. I'm not bashing, you know, my family or nothing like that, but it just is what it is. Like, where we from, a lot of people don't make it out. There's only a handful of people that make it out. And if you one of the people that God choose for you to make it out, then you owe everybody over there to come back and try to, you know, do something positive, because there's not a lot of positivity over there. And I just pride myself on trying to do that and be that, and I'm trying to position myself to where I can do that even more in a more impactful way, because I know how much it would mean to the community and to the kids over there. Because again, going back to what I said, unless you know somebody from over there, or you, sorry about that, unless you know somebody from over there, or you've been over there and around in that area, then you probably won't understand, like, how hard it is to make it from over there. And I don't take that lightly by any means. And sometimes I don't go back over there often, but when I do go back over there, it always give me a reminder. Like, God always give me a reminder. We was just over there Saturday, and, like, just being over there and just people that saw me and was talking to me, and, you know, it just motivated me even more, because I'm like, man, like, I'm supposed to be giving back to my community and doing stuff in my community, because they, you know, it's people. I mean, I'm just a regular old person, but there's people over there that really look up to me and really, really root for me and really, really think I could help change stuff over there. So I don't take that for granted.
For sure, man. Yeah, I believe it. Now, if I was to ask your players at New Mexico State, describe Coach Hart, what would they say?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know what they would say. I mean, I would hope they would say, and I'm not perfect by any means, but I would hope they would say Coach Hart is he's a stand-up dude, a God-fearing man. You know, a coach that knows basketball and loves basketball and passionate about basketball, and a guy that cares about them more than just their basketball skills.
For sure, for sure. All right, so now we're gonna switch it up a little bit. We're gonna switch it up, and now this is the this or that segment. All right, so it's just a little bit of fun. And I'm gonna ask you, like, you choose one or the other. All right, are you ready? Go ahead, take a sip of your water. All right, here we go. Here we go. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Boneless wings or bone-in wings?
Bone-in.
Okay. Do you consider boneless to be a buffalo wing or nah? You don't consider that?
Nah, I think boneless is more for women. Nah, I'm just playing. I just don't see a lot of men going to go ask for boneless wings.
I got you.
I'm used to bone in. I got you. Bone in. I'm not being a sexist. Right?
Yeah. For sure.
I'm bone in.
Okay. So you're gonna do a two dribble pull up, or are you gonna finish at the cup?
Uh,
I was about to say, I knew that was going to be the answer there. I knew that was going to be the answer there. Oh man. And then, do you prefer small gatherings or big parties?
That's a good question. Small gatherings, big. It's hard for me to answer that because I'm a homebody, but I would say small gatherings. No, I would say big parties. Big parties.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Okay. That's it for that. So now I want to do the, I like to do the winner's circle of the week. And this is somebody that you see, they've been grinding. They might've been flying under the radar. Other people haven't seen them. And I kind of like to put this together because this is somebody that, you know, you want to just shout out, but then you're also saying, John, I think this person would be a good guest to come on your show next. But who do you think would be the winner's circle for you? Somebody who, you know, been flying under the radar and you just want to give them their flowers.
Man, off the top of my head, I would say my girl Jazz, man, pro-life training, man. She's dope. She's been grinding for a long time training. She's helped develop a bunch of kids around the Metroplex, and she's a female. And she got her own gym now. She's doing her thing in Rowlett. You know, I'm just proud of her. That's my dog. She had dreams of getting her own gym. She used to work me out some when I was playing. And she got her own gym, and she got that thing rolling, man. And she's doing her thing. And she a female in the business, male-dominant sport. And she's really doing her thing, you know, and flying under the radar. So I would say, shout out to my girl Jasmine.
That's what's up, Jasmine Cannon. That's what's up. Yeah. Okay. So now we're gonna go ahead. We're gonna round this thing off with a bow. But this is the part where I just like to, you know, it's called the Dear Student Athlete segment. Okay. And this is the part where, you know, you take a moment and you share a tip and one resource that you want to just give to a student athlete. Like, you know, what's a tip? And then what's, you know, a resource that you feel would be beneficial to add value to them?
The tip I would give young student athletes is to listen. Is a big part because I think when you're young, you know, we're just wired to feel like we know it all and we got it all figured out. You know, and we don't, you know, so I think one of the biggest tips I can give a young student athlete is to just listen to your coaches, listen to your parents, listen to the people in your circle that has your best interests at heart, because if you do listen, then that will stop you from making, you know, the mistakes and going through the pitfalls, you know, because you're already going to have some trouble. You're already going to have some adversity to get to where you're trying to get to. You don't want to add no more adversity on yourself. And if you would, you can avoid that by just listening to, you know, your coaches and your parents and your friends, or your friends or family that's close around you that know what they're doing and know what they're talking about. So that would kind of be my tip and my resource, because your resource is the people that you're around that love you, that know what they're doing, and all you gotta do is listen sometimes, and you know, you can go a little further in your journey and in your career.
That's good. Coach Hart, let them know where they can find you, follow you, connect with you.
You can follow me on Twitter, Coach Hart 32. Follow me on Instagram, Coach Hart 32. Yeah.
Man. That's it. Yeah, I appreciate you stopping through.
Yes,
man,
sir.
It's been real. Everybody out there who's tapped in, y'all make sure to tap in with Coach Hart, man, because I'm curious to continue to follow his journey and, you know, see how he continues to elevate not only players but just in people's lives as a whole. But if y'all are watching on YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening on the audio platforms, be sure to follow. But this is Beyond the Ball with Jonathan Jones, and this is where we help student athletes succeed beyond their degree. What's going on, family? If you enjoyed this content, I need you to stop right now. Stop what you're doing
And I need you to smash that subscribe button, all right? Smash that subscribe button and then drop a comment just down below. Like, what did you like about the video? What can we continue to improve in terms of our videos? Or even what are some topics that we can cover on this platform, all right? So do those two things for us. Smash that subscribe button. I'm gonna pause for a second. Did you hit it, Chet? If you didn't, smash that thing. And then leave us a comment because I would love to hear from you and I would love to interact with you. All right, family, until next time, peace and God bless. This is Beyond the Ball, where we help student athletes succeed beyond their degree.
Beyond the Ball Podcast.